David's Last Words, Part 2. Just a couple of weeks ago, we looked at Part 1. David had a lot to say for Last Words. There'll even be a Part 3. And just prior to that, we saw that he couldn't even get out of bed. He needed a lady to keep him warm. And now here, he's spurred on by one of his sons trying to take the throne away from Solomon. And that seems to rally him for one last call. And he gets up and gives this long, covers three different chapters in the Bible, this last farewell to his people. But before we get to David's last words, I wanted to look at some more of some other famous or maybe infamous last words that you might have heard spoken. Don't worry, I've seen this done on TV. Some famous last words or infamous last words. These are the good kinds of mushrooms. I'll hold it and you light the fuse. Popular on 4th of July. Nice doggy. I can make this light before it changes. I'm sure some of you have said that. I know I've gone through yellow lights, you know, and thinking, should I go? Well, if I break, it'll, you know, the whole, everything behind me will come through. And so, you know, I go through it anyway and just look around to see if a police car saw me or something. And three cars behind me will all go through after me. But living dangerously. And another thing, your mother is. Hey, everyone, what's this? Last words. How was I to know she is your wife? And do you hear a ticking sound? So, okay, let's go to some of David's last words. David said to Solomon, "My son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house to the name of the Lord my God. But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'You have shed much blood and have made great wars. You shall not build a house for my name, because you have shed much blood on the earth in my sight.'" That must have been very tough for David. I can imagine that from a young child, he was dreaming about a temple for the Lord. Bethlehem is very close to Jerusalem, and I'd imagine as he was out there with the sheep throwing stones and you know, chewing on grass or whatever, you know, just out there spending time, he'd wander over by Jerusalem, and well, it wasn't Jerusalem then, it was Jebus. And, you know, just looking at the city and the walls and thinking, that's right here in the center of Israel. What is that Jebusite city still doing here? We need to take that. Saul needs to rally the armies together, and we need to take that city like God told us hundreds of years before. And dreaming about that as a young child, maybe even crawling up the water shaft as a young kid, just curious. And then when he becomes king, he's got his eye on that city. And then I'm sure he dreamed for years about building God a temple. God should have a temple, not in some tent, right here in the city of God. For maybe 40 years or longer, he's dreaming of this God having a temple. I'm sure even before he came king, so close to maybe 50 years, he could be dreaming of a temple for the Lord. And you meet with Samuel and talk and go to the sanctuary. And then God tells him, "You're not going to build me a temple." Maybe some of us, we've had dreams and aspirations, and God said, "It's not for you to do." That doesn't mean we don't have a part. And we saw in part one, David provided for the temple as much as he could. But David accepted it, and he's transferring that over to his son. God said, "A son shall be born to you, who shall be a man of rest. His name shall be Solomon." So Solomon was prophesied before he was even born. For I will give peace and quietness to Israel in his days. And God did. He shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. What a wonderful promise. How would you like to have some promise written about you like that before you were even born? That'd be nice. Well, you do. These same words God has written in his book regarding you. You are his son. You are his daughter. He is your father. And he has promised you everlasting life in his kingdom forever and ever. God knew us before we were born, before he created us in our mother's wombs. And he has a plan for us. A plan to give us peace. Peace in our hearts, peace in our minds. And to make us people of shalom. People of peace as well. So this prophecy is not only for Solomon. These promises are for you and me as well. We can take hold of it. We can grab hold of it and accept it and allow it to be lived out in our lives. But not only is it a prophecy of Solomon, first and foremost, and a prophecy of us, but it's also a prophecy. Let's take a look at some parallels to this here in 1 Chronicles and compare it with another prophecy out of the book of Isaiah, another Jewish prophet, the book of Isaiah. Chapter 9, verses 6 through 7. In the blue, the black will be our rereading of 1 Chronicles, and the blue will be from the Jewish prophet Isaiah. A son shall be born to you. That was from 1 Chronicles, referring to Solomon. Isaiah says, to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Similar words. Son, born, both there. Back to 1 Chronicles. His name shall be Solomon, for I will give peace and quietness to Israel in his days. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In part two, we've got several words, 4 or 5 words, matching right up. He shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. From Isaiah, of the increase of his government, kingdom, government, same thing, and peace, there will be no end, no end forever, same thing. And then it says it again, upon the throne of David over his kingdom, 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 to establish it for with judgment and justice forever. Ever. Parallel prophecies. One specifically about Solomon, the king, the son of David, who would bring peace to Israel. And the other one out of Isaiah, referring to the son of David, the Mashiach ben David, the Messiah son of David, who would bring peace to Israel and to all the world. Parallel prophecies. So Solomon, just like David, just like Moses, just like Abraham, just like Isaac, just like most of the people in the Bible, prefigured the coming and the character and the life of the Messiah. God lives through Solomon that way. God lives through David that way and these others, prefiguring. And God wants to live that way through us. That as people, as we study the lives of Solomon, David, these others, we see a little glimpse of the Mashiach. And God wants, as people study us, as people see us, as people look at us, as people watch us, as people get to know us, they will see at least a little bit of the Messiah. God's life reflected through us and out of us. That's God's purpose for each one of us. That was God's purpose for Solomon. That's God's purpose for us. That's God's purpose for creating Adam and Eve, that he would be dwelling in people on this earth. Emmanuel, God with us. That was the purpose of the Messiah coming. And that's the purpose of God's Spirit poured out upon us, that God again would dwell in flesh through us on this earth, to share and manifest his character, his love, to a lost, sad, dying world. What a privilege. What a prophecy. What a promise God has for us, to make us people of peace. Back to 1 Chronicles. May the Lord be with you. May you prosper. So now Solomon starts pronouncing a blessing upon Solomon. First, he tells Solomon about the promise that God specifically gave to David regarding Solomon. And now David starts giving his own blessing. May the Lord be with you. May you prosper and build the house of the Lord your God. May the Lord give you understanding and wisdom and give you charge concerning Israel, that you may keep the law of the Lord your God. And that's God's promises for us. That's God's blessings for us. That's God's desire for us as well. That we would prosper, and that we would prosper in understanding and in wisdom and in character and living out, keeping the law of the Lord our God. And David says, then you will prosper if you fulfill the statutes and judgments that the Lord gave Moses concerning Israel. God's promise to Solomon and God's promises to us are conditional. Then you will prosper if you fulfill the statutes and the judgments. God wants us to prosper. He says, my beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. But prosperity, and that just doesn't mean just financial prosperity. A lot of people kind of, you know, this prosperity gospel of just, you know, worrying about getting rich financially. That's not necessarily what it's about. Being prosperous in wisdom and in knowledge and in love and in character and in peace. Well, financial prosperity can come along with that if God decides and can trust us with it and we use it wisely. But, you know, that's up for God to know what he wants to give talents and gifts to each one of us to use for his honor and glory. But he definitely wants us all to prosper emotionally, spiritually, in truth and in wisdom and in happiness and in joy and in power and in victory in the Lord. But the prosperity is conditional upon our willingness to allow God to work through us to fulfill his word in our flesh, to keep the commandments of the Lord our God. God can't bless disobedience. He never has and he won't. Prosperity linked. David understood that, and David is trying to instill that in Solomon. Now, as we look at the life of Solomon, we see that, unfortunately, he did not always follow this principle. And disaster, terrible disaster, took place. And we're still living through the consequences of Solomon's disobedience to God. Oh, how God, what God would have wanted. What it would have been if Solomon would not, and his prosperity after him, would have followed David's counsel. How about us? What does God want to do in our generation, and if there are future generations, through us, and through those that we will minister to, and through those that we will bless through God's presence and Spirit manifested through us, and how much woe and sorrow there will be in this generation and following generations, if they are to be, if we don't fulfill God's promise and plan for us. You will prosper if you fulfill the statutes and judgment that the Lord gave Moses concerning Israel. Be strong and of a good courage. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Even though David's just given Solomon this high calling, and to us as well, to fulfill and to keep the laws of the Lord and to manifest his love and power through us on this earth. That can be daunting. How can I do that? I'm not worthy of that. I'm not able to do that. No, we're not. But it has nothing to do with us. It has everything to do with God. And God is able. And God is worthy. And God chooses to use us. We'll allow ourselves to be used by him. He will do it. And that's what David says. So be strong and have a good courage. Don't worry. It's not dependent on you. It's dependent on God. And he's got all the resources and the power to make it happen. Do not fear. Don't be dismayed. Be encouraged. What the Lord promises, the Lord will fulfill as long as we don't block him, as long as we don't resist him, as long as we don't say, no, I don't want to. If we allow him to work through us, he will. I have taken much trouble to prepare for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold, 1 million talents of silver, and bronze and iron beyond measure. David says, Solomon, don't worry about building this big feat of building the temple. It's a big job, but don't worry. I've provided all this stuff for you. And God says to us, don't worry. I've got big plans for you, but I provided everything necessary. I will provide all your needs according to my riches and glory. Again, we might think needs like, you know, I need a new car, I need a job, I need this, I need a spouse, I need all our needs, including our need for power and victory and strength and the ability to say no and to resist temptation and to do what's right and to keep his commandments and to share his love with others. All our needs of his courage, our need of his strength, our need of forgiveness, all our needs. Those other things as well, that material things as well, but all of our needs, he will provide. He's already provided it. He's already promised it. It's already a done deal. Our salvation has already been paid for us. Just like David already provided everything for Solomon. Now, Solomon could have gone and, after David's dead, blew it. You know, he could have gone on a trip to Dubai or whatever and, you know, just blew it there gambling or whatever. You know, or he could have used it for the temple of the Lord. God has poured out his blessings for us, and we can accept his grace and his gift and his power and use it for the Lord. Or we can just neglect it and just let it sit. Take hold of the promises or not make any use of them at all. Moreover, there are workmen with you in abundance, woodmen and stonecutters and skillful men of every kind of work. Arise and begin working, for the Lord will be with you. Begin the work of the Lord. Arise and shine. Arise and work for the Lord. Take on the devil. Take on those areas in your life that God wants you to grow. Sometimes I've heard people tell me, I'm stagnant in my life. I've stopped growing. I'm not growing anymore. And it's because they're not doing. When we stop doing, growing in the Lord is part learning, part receiving, part accepting, part believing. But then there also has to be action. It's also doing. Most people stop growing, but all they want to do is just listen. They want to hear. And after they've heard the gospel, and after they've heard, and maybe they've accepted and they believed, and it's done something in our lives. And the excitement of that lasts, that first love experience will last for a year, 2 years, a few years. But then if all we become is hearers and not doers of the word, we stagnate. We become dead seas, receiving and not giving. And we stop growing. So David says, arise and begin working. Working for the Lord is a key element in our growth with the Lord. Be strong and of a good courage. God has provided everything you need. And he's given us workmen to work together. It's not your job alone. It's not my job alone. It's God's work, and he's given us a team to work together, to pull together, and to go forth and to share God's love in this area where he has planted us. Arise and shine. Begin working, and the Lord will be with us. Nothing to fear. Nothing to dismay. Be strong and of a good work. And David commanded all the leaders to help Solomon. So David helped him, and he had other people help him too, saying, "Is not the Lord your God with you? Has he not given you rest on every side? Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Therefore arise and build the sanctuary of the Lord God." God is building a sanctuary as well. I'm not talking about these walls here. Yeah, he's building this too. I'm doing construction here too. And, you know, God is blessing and answering things here as well. But this is not, but we are the temple of the Lord. We are the stones. We are each stones, fit stones to fit together. No one is the building itself. Not even the Lord himself is the building himself. He has made himself the chief cornerstone. But that's all he's made himself. He can make himself the whole sanctuary if he wanted to. He can fill it up with angels if he wanted to. But that's not what he wants. He wants to be the chief cornerstone that we rely on, that we lean on. And he wants to fit us all together, working together in harmony and unity, serving the Lord and using our gifts together for his honor and glory. Arise and build the sanctuary of the Lord. God has called us to action. David provided how he could. He provided financially. He got everybody else together, and he gave the work to Solomon. God has done all that work for us. He's provided his grace. He's provided his salvation for us. He's paved the way, and he's given us his spirit to empower us to go forward. And now he calls us to use the gifts that he has given us, to be dependent on him, lean upon him, and move forward in our walk with the Lord. David gathered at Jerusalem all the leaders of Israel, and God said, "I will establish Solomon's kingdom forever if he is steadfast to observe my commandments and my judgments." A lot of repetition in these three chapters, in David's last words. God wants to get this point across to us. David wanted to get this point across to Solomon. And Solomon didn't grasp it. He didn't get it. Maybe he got it then, and maybe he got it for a while, but then he forgot it. And God doesn't want us to forget it. If we are steadfast to observe his commandments and his judgments, he will establish our lives, our kingdoms, as priests and kings with him, as princes with him, forever. But it's conditional of our acceptance and continual acceptance of his grace and his mercy and his salvation and his power in our lives. In the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and in the hearing of God, be careful to seek out all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it as an inheritance for your children after you forever. Again, he says it again. Be careful. Seek it out diligently. Search the scriptures to find out what God's obligation upon us individually is. And then ask for God's power to keep it and to move forward in it. Want to grow with God? What's the next step he wants to take you on? What's the next area of obedience? What's the next area of work? What's the area, next area of service that he has for you? Where does he want us to grow in him? It's not getting all the facts and knowing all the details. That's part of it. You need to have knowledge. You need to have wisdom. That's where it started here in this message. But we need to use that knowledge. We need to use that wisdom for the Lord. Seeking out and keeping his commandments. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father. Yes, there's this knowing. There's this believing. Yes, a very important part. And serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. God wants us to know him. God wants us to believe. And God wants us to serve. To be his servants. To be his hands. To be his feet. On Judgment Day, God's not going to give us a test if we know all the names of David's brothers, you know, or of all the disciples, or all the names of the cities, or all the dates and figures. It says right here, for the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. Judgment. David gives Solomon this high calling and these wonderful promises, tells him, don't worry, be of courage, be of strength, be strong, because everything's provided for you. Now go forth and keep the commandments of God. Keep the commandments of God. Keep the commandments of God. Be strong. Arise and build. And if not, there's a judgment to come. He searches the hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts, the motives, the heart, the desires, the real reason why we do good things or even bad things, the motives, our excuses. He will search them out in the judgment. If you seek him, he will be found by you. Seek the Lord. He will be found. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Wonderful promises. I'll establish your kingdom forever. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. That applied to Solomon. That applies to you and me. Seek the Lord. Seek to know him. And seek to serve him. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you. God's talking about you and me, not just Solomon. He has chosen us. For you're the chosen people, chosen by God for a purpose. And being chosen just doesn't mean, oh, we got this status. God's telling even Solomon, I've chosen you, but you can lose that status forever. Chosen you for a purpose. God doesn't just choose us to put us on like a little mantle somewhere and say, well, this is my chosen people. You know, like little dolls or something. He's chosen us to serve him. He's called us for a purpose. So that the world will see God through us. What I call it. God wants to use us as his ambassadors. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Sometimes just do it. Sometimes we've got to just do it. Now, we can't just do it in our own strength. Can't do anything in our own strength. Without him, we can do nothing. But with him and through him, we can do all things. And sometimes for I think most of us, or all of us at some point in time, our biggest problem is just not doing it. It's not that we don't believe. It's not that we don't know. It's not that we don't have enough of the Bible. Here in America, we got the Bible so much. I mean, you can have it on CD. You can have it on MP3. You can have it on cassette tape still if you have that. You know, you can have in any kind of language you want. You can, you know, easy language and hard language and Greek language, whatever you want. You know, everything and anything. Women's Bibles they got, teenage Bibles, and everything. So then we have a dearth of knowledge or the ability of knowledge. So we need to just take that knowledge and now do it. Be strong and do it. Having all the gold of David and all the building material and all the workers there wouldn't do anything for Solomon if he didn't just do it. Be strong and do it. And for a lot of us, it's not knowing what we have to do. The Bible's pretty clear. You know, it's not the 10 suggestions. Pretty clear. I mean, you know, a lot of it's pretty clear. You know, some people say, I have a hard time understanding the Bible. I don't think it's the part they don't understand that gives them the problem. It's the part they do understand that gives them the problem. Sometimes we don't want to do what we know we need to do. Be strong and do it. Strong in the Lord, in the might and in his power. Step forward in faith. And there's a lot of fears, a lot of reason to be dismayed. Oh, if I step forward in this way, I won't have enough for my needs. And if I step forward in this faith, in this way, my spouse is not going to be happier, or my boss is not going to be happier. My family's not going to be happier. It might cost me something. But David told Solomon it cost him a whole lot more if he didn't get up and do it. God tells us it'll cost us a lot more if we don't get up and do it. Be strong. Have faith in the Lord and in his might and in his power. Do it. David gave his son Solomon the plans. Gave him the plans. He gave him gold by weight for all these things. God has given us his plan. He's given us his word. He's given us the gold of faith tried in the fire. He's given us his own faith. He's given everyone a measure of faith. And he will add to that as we use that faith he has given to us. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me all the works of these plans. All the plans. God has made them know. God has made our plan plain to us. The word of God. Put it into practice. Follow it. Step forward in faith. What's the next area you need to grow? What's the area that God is telling you, be strong and do it? What area have you been resisting doing for the Lord? In service, in obedience, or commitment. What is the one thing in your life that's lacking? The one area that he's calling you to take the next step with him with. Be strong in the power of the might of the Lord. Do it. David said to his son Solomon, be strong and of a good courage. Was that 3 or 4 times already? Be strong and of a good courage and do it. Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, will be with you. The God who saw me, freed me from the lion and freed me from the bear and freed me from Goliath, freed me from the Philistines, freed me from the Jebusites, freed me from Saul. The Lord my God will be with you and will do it. And the same Lord God that delivered David time and time again will deliver you. One who gave him power and strength and courage will give you strength and power and courage. The one who provided for David will provide for you. The one who made David great will make you great in the Lord as well. Shining star in his kingdom forever and ever. He will not leave you nor forsake you. The Bible mentions this a few different ways in a few different places. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. What a promise. In a doing it alone. You're not doing it in your own strength, your own ability, your own power. He, God, the Lord God, the God Almighty, the creator of all things, the ruler of the universe, the one who speaks and it's done. He will not leave you nor forsake you until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. That applied to Solomon, and that applies to you and me. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. until we have finished. God has called us to finish his work. I believe God wants us to be the last generation. I believe it can be the last generation. I also believe it doesn't have to be. I believe the choice is up to us. God's wanting to come a long time ago, wanting to end this world of sin and bring in everlasting righteousness and take us to heaven and New Jerusalem and start a whole new heavens and a whole new earth. He's waiting on us to build the sanctuary. I'm not talking about a third sanctuary in Jerusalem. I'm talking about the sanctuary of God, of people, fit building blocks, building up his temple here on earth, his character here on earth. And when they see us, not just individually, but when they see us corporately as a whole, they get the full picture and see the Lord lived out fully in his character, obeying his commands. And again, just like this prophecy was, with that Isaiah prophecy was prophesying the Messiah who came and fulfilled and lived out perfectly the law of God. That's what God is looking for again on this earth. That's what people are looking for again on this earth. The tired of the hypocrites. When they see real committed people, when they see God living through us, then God's testimony will have been seen throughout the earth. The Bible says, when this gospel is taken to all the world, then the end shall come. Well, that's simple enough. Let's just sell all the buildings and print up Bibles and rent a couple helicopters and spread it all over the earth. We could do that pretty quickly, I'm sure. But that's not what the people are needing to see. They don't need Bibles dropped even in their languages or even on, you know, solar-powered, you know, audio cassette machines reading them the Bible. They need to see it in flesh. In us, God in us, lived out through us. God is calling us to be strong and to do it, to build the temple of the Lord right here in St. Petersburg. Practically, unitedly, systematically, lovingly, empowered by the Lord, building up the work of the Lord. They made Solomon the son of David king the second time and anointed him. And that word anointed is Mashiach, Messiah, the anointed one. Again, Solomon foreshadowing. Anointing him before the Lord to be the leader and Zadok to be the priest. And then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king instead of David his father and prospered. And all Israel obeyed him. All the sons of King David submitted themselves to King Solomon. And David had a lot of sons. So God's plans, God has plans for this area. God has plans for this sanctuary, for this temple. And again, I'm not talking about the four walls, but part of it, what he wants to do here through us. God wants each one of us using our God-given talents for him. Using them individually and using them corporately together. God wants everyone giving faithfully to the Lord. Giving of our time, giving of our talents, giving of our finances, giving back to the Lord what is rightfully his. God wants us to be able to do more programs and concerts and seminars to see more people and to interact more with people in our community. Not just for ourselves, not at all for ourselves, but so that we can interact and meet more people. God wants us to help more people in the needy and students. Be able to provide and help them and train them and teach them. We can distribute more literature together, take it and share it. God wants us to be able to send more assistance to Israel and other parts of the world in desperate need. And then just those things around the building here to make it a better place for us to invite people to come and learn about the Lord. Other things in the place here and other ways then to be able to spread the gospel outside of the walls here as well. This is a testimony of a patient from Florida Hospital, which is part of Adventist Health System South with its 18 hospitals in Florida. She says, everyone I met during my 3 years of cancer treatments at Florida Hospital was absolutely wonderful. I mean everyone. Absolutely wonderful. Everyone from my doctors and nurses to the oncologist and the hospital rooms and the care I was receiving was absolutely fabulous. But one person stands out above all who made my experience go from sorrow to joy. We met her in the elevator, one of the cleaning ladies, Christy. It was just my husband and myself and Christy in the elevator. I had just come back from my first test and was distraught and worried and fearful. She stood there in the elevator with us, didn't say a word. When we reached her floor, she got off, and then she turned around and looked at me and said, "Don't worry, God loves you." I burst out crying. I ran into her several more times over the 3 years I was there, and I'd run over and give her a hug and remind her that I was the elevator lady. And how much she encouraged me that day. She is what gave me hope. Her message gave me hope. Everyone at the hospital was a blessing. Just a short testimony sent into the hospital. Just a few simple words made such a big impact on this lady. As she ran over to greet this lady every time she saw her and to write to the president or whoever the hospital and give that commendation. What this lady did, is that not anything that any one of us can do? Is there any one of us here who can feel someone else's pain? I can't sense that someone else is struggling. I can't give 5 words of encouragement. I can't smile at someone. I can't give a handshake to someone. I can't make someone feel warm and welcome and cared about and loved. Doesn't have to be the big things. Florida Hospital and other hospitals, you know, they put a lot of money into making things beautiful and making things smooth and making things run well and providing the best health care they can. You know, here in God's hospital, you know, we do a lot on the building and that's important and, you know, work on making the services nice and good and the music and the programs and all as good as it can be. But often what's most important is a smile, a handshake, and some words of encouragement. All of us can do that. Tomorrow, Lord willing, the weather will be good. We've got a bunch of flyers. I think just about everybody, maybe not everybody, but most can walk down the street, walk up to a door, and put the flyer in the door. On Sunday, we advertised in the newspaper for people to come out. They think they're coming to get a free plant. They think they're coming to see what kind of junk we have. But really, they're coming so that we can meet them, so we can smile, so we can shake their hands, and we can say hello. and we can invite him back for our service at Hanukkah. I don't think there's anyone here who can't do that. That's all this lady did. We can do that. God is calling us to rise up, be strong, be of good courage, and do it. Whatever talent, whatever gift, whatever God has called us, you individually and us as a congregation, to work together to do, let us do it with all his might, with all his strength, with all his power, for his honor and for his glory. And then not only tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday, but then again next Friday, to be here and to be here early, and maybe you have an assignment, maybe to take pictures, maybe to help with the filming, maybe to sing, or maybe to make latkes. Actually, we need some latke makers. I know people can make latkes. They're already cooked. All you got to do is put them in the oven, warm them up on Friday night, and bring them hot. Brenda will shove them in the oven here and keep them hot. Simple enough. You know, we don't have to all do all things, but we can all do something. And then just be here early and greet the people as they come in. And tell them hello. As we pray together, what area is God calling you to? What plans does he have for you? What area does he want you to prosper in? What area does he want you to grow in? What area is he asking you to take that next step with him and to move forward in faith, to move forward in power, to move forward by his grace, in service and in love and in obedience and in faith and in belief in him? And I'll invite those here tonight that God has specifically spoken to. If there's a specific area, not just a generality, but if God has spoken a specific area, he might not have spoken to all of us yet. Maybe, you know, on the ride home, it'll hit you, you know, or maybe tomorrow or whenever it'll hit you. And, oh, yeah, this is, you'll be reading the Bible. Yes, this is what God is calling me to do, this next step. But for those here that already know what God is calling the next step in your life, where he's calling you specifically to be strong in, where he's calling you specifically to be of good courage in, where he's specifically calling you to not be afraid and not be dismayed, where he's specifically calling you to rise up and to do it. For those here who know specifically something that God is calling you to do, I'll invite you to stand as I pray. And that's kind of an indication to God that I've heard you, and Lord, I need your power to fulfill it. So as we pray together, any of those here that God is speaking a specific message to, specific area, I'll invite you to stand as we pray together. Our Lord and our God, King of the universe, I am thankful for your love and your might and your power. I'm thankful for your promises to David. I'm thankful for your promises to the son of David, Solomon. I'm thankful for your promises to the son of David, the Messiah. I'm thankful for your promises through him to us. I'm thankful for all that you have done and all that you have provided and all that you are doing. And I'm thankful, Lord, for all of those promises and plans that you have for us. Plans to prosper us and not to harm us. Plans to give us peace and an expected end. Lord, work in us and through us. And those here standing, Lord, that have heard your call tonight, Lord, give them the power. Give them the strength. Give them the courage. Work in them and through them, fulfilling your will. And for the rest of us, Lord, continue to speak to us. Continue to reveal your will to us. And show us what you would have us to do in building up your temple here on earth. And we ask these things in Yeshua's holy name. Amen.